The Acts of the Apostles, chapter 20. I want to look particularly at verse 19, because it certainly sums up what Paul's ministry was in Ephesus and to the church there. And he reminded the elders of the church in Ephesus with these words, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. We should say that every verse that makes up this farewell address of Paul, we could preach on every verse, because every verse is so full of truth and also of the ministry, the description of the ministry of the great apostle. But I want to divide this farewell address into dealing with the verses we read tonight, verses 17 to 27. While Paul tarried at Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. For 3 years, Paul administered to the church in Ephesus, and now it came to the time to say goodbye. Time had come for Paul to say farewell, because he had it in his heart to go to Jerusalem. But whether it is 3 years or 30 years, it is never easy to say goodbye when that time comes. And this is especially true when the one who is leaving will go away and never return. Those were the words of the Apostle Paul to the elders. For as he said in verse 25, "You shall see my face no more." The end of verse 25. "You shall see my face no more." And such words would certainly pull at the heartstrings, because the apostle was greatly loved by those elders in the church at Ephesus. And those words remained with those elders when at last they embrace one another, embrace Paul. Because we read in verse 37, "And they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more. And they accompanied him onto the ship." They went as far as they could with him. They went on to the ship with Paul. They were reluctant to let him go. They were reluctant to say goodbye. But then it is not surprising that the elders felt that way about the apostle, because they were well aware of his worth. They had had a great man preach to them. They had a godly man preach to them. They had a gracious man minister to them for 3 years. And now that ministry had come to an end. And as he delivered his final address to the Ephesian elders, he reminds them of those 3 years of ministry amongst them. And as he looks back over those years, he shows that he had no regrets. And so in Paul's final words to the elders of the Ephesian church, I want us this evening to consider this farewell address. Paul saying to the elders, it's time to say goodbye. And we can look at these words of Paul and we will recognize immediately that Paul was a faithful minister. Paul was a faithful minister of the gospel. In his first letter to his son of the faith, or in the faith, Timothy, he wrote these words. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. 1 Timothy 1:12. He counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. And as a minister of the gospel, God had acknowledged. And it shows us that God takes note of a man's ministry. It does not go unnoticed by the Lord. And God took notice of Paul's ministry and acknowledged that Paul had been a faithful minister. And this shows exactly what the Lord expects his ministers to be. Namely, he expects them to be faithful in the proclamation of the word. And that is what every minister of the gospel should be. He should strive to be faithful and strive after the words of commendation from the Lord himself. Those words that we trust we will receive when we stand before him. Well done, my good and faithful servant. It doesn't say, well done, my good and successful servant. It is, well done, my good and faithful servant. Paul, or the Lord, there doesn't make any mention of vast crowds and large congregations. He says, well done, my good and faithful servant. And what the Lord looks for in his minister is faithfulness. Being faithful to the book, faithful to the blood, faithful to the truth and its proclamation. From his farewell address, we can see that Paul indeed had been a faithful minister in the church there at Ephesus. First of all, we can see as a minister of the gospel, he was a consistent minister. His faithfulness is seen in how consistent he was. In fact, the word faithful, the Lord has counted me faithful in putting me into the ministry. The word faithful means steady. Paul was steady. And that shows us how steady the apostle was in the performance of his duties as a minister to the church at Ephesus. Because Paul begins his message by reminding the elders of the first day he came amongst them. He reminds them of that day when he commenced his ministry amongst them. Verse 18, and he says, and when they were come to him, he said unto them, ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind. He brings their minds back to the first day he came amongst them. And that is how Paul's ministry continued. He continued a faithful ministry amongst them. He was steady all the way. Look at verse 27. Paul says, I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. That's how he continued. He began as a faithful minister of Jesus Christ. He continued as a faithful minister of Jesus Christ. And it was how he concluded his ministry there. For verse 31 says, therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, so he's talking about the end of his ministry now, by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And so every day, every night, for 3 years, the Apostle Paul had remained a consistent minister of the gospel. His ministry was consistent. And Paul was only interested in finishing his ministry the way that he had begun. He says that in verse 24. But none of these things moved me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus Christ to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Notice what he says, that I may finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received. Paul acknowledges the great responsibility that had been placed upon him when he received the gospel from the Lord. As a minister, he was to go out and to preach it, and he was to be faithful in his preaching. He was to be steady, and he wanted to finish his ministry with joy. He didn't want to finish his ministry with regrets. But he wanted to finish his ministry with joy, knowing that he had at least done his best for the Lord. He didn't want to be filled with regrets. And indeed, he did finish his ministry as a faithful minister of the gospel. Because as he wrote to Timothy and said to Timothy, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. He doesn't finish there. He doesn't end there. But he goes on to say, I have kept the faith. Many today have given up the faith. Many today have apostatized. And that's what apostasy means. Abandoning, giving up the faith. But Paul says, I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. He didn't give it away. He didn't sell it for a mess of pottage. He believed what Solomon had said. What did Solomon say? Buy the truth and sell it not. Buy the truth and sell it not. Proverbs 23 and verse 23. And so what he professed, what he practiced, what he preached from the first day until the close of his 3 year ministry there, Paul had not wavered. Paul had not weakened. Paul had not wearied. He had continued a consistent ministry for the 3 years that he preached the gospel to the people in Ephesus. We're talking here about a minister, but we can apply the same truth to us all as Christians. As Christians, we all need to be steady. Steady Christians. Faithful believers. Faithful in the truth. Faithful to the truth. And be steady as a rock for the Lord through all the days we have here upon earth. So from this farewell address, we see that he was not only a consistent minister, but he was a conscientious minister. Paul sought only the spiritual good of the people he had ministered to. He was conscientious. There are boys today, they occupy pulpits, and they're really no more interested in the spiritual good of the people they minister to. All they're interested in is getting over their little 15-minute sermon and collecting their check at the end of the week. As far as seeking after the spiritual good of the people, they're not interested. Paul was a conscientious minister. He sought only the spiritual good of his people. He wasn't interested in silver or gold. You'll read that in that farewell address. He coveted no man's silver and no man's gold. He was only interested in the souls of men and women that he ministered to. They were more important to him, of more value to him than silver and gold. Notice how conscientious he was. You'll see it first of all in his presence. Because Paul says there in verse 18 again, and when they were come to him, he said unto them, ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons. That shows us that he was a conscientious minister. He had been with the people at all seasons. He was not like the hireling whom the Lord spoke about in John chapter 10. Rather, Paul had been a good under-shepherd. He had not deserted his sheep in times of sorrow, in times of difficulty, in times of danger. Paul says, I was with you at all seasons. Conscientious minister. There in John 10 and verse 12. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, his own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them the sheep, and the hireling fleeth, scattereth the sheep, and the hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. Paul was no hireling. Paul cared for the sheep. He was a conscientious minister. He cared about his sheep. Indeed, while he was there with them at all seasons. He kept the wolves away from the sheep. He was the one who kept the wolves away. For look at verse 29 and what he says there. In verse 29 he says, for I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Do you notice? The wolves wouldn't dare come in amongst the flock while Paul was there. Paul says, after my departing, when I'm gone, the wolves will try to come in. But while Paul was there, they wouldn't dare enter in. He was a good shepherd. He was a conscientious shepherd. We see not only was he conscientious by his presence, he was with them at all seasons. But he was a conscientious minister. We see that by his proclamations. Paul made it clear that he kept back nothing that he felt would have been good for them spiritually. Once again, it's emphasized, he was only interested in their spiritual good. Verse 20, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you. That shows you how conscientious he was. I have kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you. So in other words, what Paul preached, he practiced. They saw it lived out in Paul's life and showed you and taught you publicly and from house to house. In other words, he had taught the people as he stood in the pulpit publicly whenever he had to speak with them on a personal basis. It was the same message. And they had kept back nothing that was profitable unto them. Because, you see, he wanted to see them grow in grace. He wanted to see them grow in the Lord. And what he called upon the elders to do, he had done himself. For verse 28, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost had made you overseers to feed the church of God. Paul was calling upon the elders when he would leave them. He was calling upon the elders, make sure you feed the flock. That's what Paul had already done. And he wanted them to follow his example. He had fed the church there in Ephesus by preaching the truth unto them, and he wanted the elders to continue on doing that and preach the truth to the church, feed the flock of God. He wanted to see them built up in their most holy faith. This evidently was always the desire of his heart. Go over to 2 Timothy 3. This is something that was always on Paul's heart. 2 Timothy 3. And he says in verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Now mark the words. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. We can say amen to that. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And so when it came to Paul preaching the gospel, there were those times they had to correct the people. He had to reprove those who were listening to him. But it was for their benefit. Do you see that? It was for their benefit. He was a preacher of the scriptures, and he said the scriptures of truth are profitable. Certainly he preached doctrine. And they're profitable for reproof. And for correction. And you know, believer, for you and I to be built up on our most holy faith, for you and I to strive after holiness and a purity of life, there are those times when we must be reproved, when we must be corrected. For if we are allowed to go on in our sinful ways, and allow those besetting sins to overtake us, then we will not be striving after a holy life. And there'll be no spiritual growth. And so there are times there needs to be correction. And there needs to be reproof. Because look at the next verse. verse 17 of 2 Timothy 3, that the man of God may be perfect, or the word is, may be perfected, truly furnished unto all good works. And so you can see the reason for the doctrine, for the reproof, for the correction, for the instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfected. That was Paul's ministry. That's what he wanted. That's what he was striving for in the church in Ephesus. And he exhorted Timothy to do the same thing. Preach the word. Is that what he says in the very next chapter? Look again at the words. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove. Rebuke. Exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. And this is all to do with that man of God who may be made perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. That's what we want, isn't it? Paul went on to say, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they'll turn away their ears from the truth. We don't want that. We don't want a word that merely makes us feel good and tickles our ears and gives us that, as the man told the Reverend Wagner, that warm, fuzzy feeling. He didn't attend the church anymore because he says he didn't have a warm, fuzzy feeling. We're not in the business of making people feel warm and fuzzy. The business is to build up believers in their most holy faith through the preaching of the Scriptures, the preaching of the Word, and when necessary, to reprove, to rebuke, and to correct. And if we're honest, that's what we need. There are those times when we'll need reproved, we'll need rebuked, we'll need corrected, because it'll make us a better Christian. And surely that's what we're all striving after. To be better Christians. That was Paul's ministry. There in Ephesus. That was his proclamations. He was conscientious because he had told the people the truth. He was also a conscientious minister. We see that in his passion. Here is the word of a faithful minister of the gospel. Verse 26. Wherefore, I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. There's Paul's passion. In other words, every man, woman, and child, whoever sat under the preaching of Paul while he was in Ephesus, every one of them was told their need of Christ. Nobody was left out. He didn't overlook anyone. He didn't hold back on anyone. Because Paul was able to say, wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. In other words, I have preached the gospel to every man, woman, and child. In the church at Ephesus, no man from the Ephesian church will be able to stand before God on the day of judgment and point the finger at me, Paul, and say, Paul, you never told us how to be saved. Nobody. No one will be able to point the finger at Paul and say that. You didn't tell us. And Paul was saying here, there's no soul in the church at Ephesus whom I haven't preached the gospel to. I do not have the blood of any soul on my hands, because I've been faithful to them all. Turn to Ezekiel, please, in chapter 33. Ezekiel 33, and here is what Paul was referring to. Ezekiel 33. Reference here is to the watchman. The preacher is likened unto a watchman. The watchman in a fenced city would man the watchtowers. Whenever he would see danger arise, the enemy come in, he would sound the alarm. If he didn't sound the alarm, the enemy would overthrow the city, and it would be the responsibility of the watchman. The watchman here is the preacher. And look there at verse 7, Ezekiel 33, verse 7, so thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth, and warn them from me. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die, if thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. The watchman would be judged by God for failing to deliver the word of the Lord and deliver a word of warning to the wicked. And God says, his blood will I require at thine hand. That's what Paul was talking about. When he said to the elders, I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. Nobody will be able to say, Paul, you didn't preach the gospel to me. You didn't warn me. No, he was pure of the blood of all men. This conscientious minister wanted to make sure that every man in the church in Ephesus was told of his need of Christ. He was that conscientious. As well as being a consistent minister and a conscientious minister, he was a compassionate minister. On two occasions in this farewell address, Paul makes mention of his tears. Verse 19, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears, and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. Now verse 31. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. Talk about compassion. Talk about having a tender heart. That was Paul. There was Paul, and first of all, in the verse 19, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears, and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. Remember, he said that he was with them in all seasons. Seasons of sorrow. Seasons of separation. Seasons of sickness. Seasons of suffering. Paul says, I was with you. And those times when I was with you, I wept tears. Remember what he told the believers at Rome? He told them, rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Romans 12, verse 15. That was Paul. Paul rejoiced with those who rejoiced, but at the same time, he wept with those who wept. When he ministered unto them, he did so with tears in his eyes. That verse 31. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. As Paul preached to men and women about their soul, he did so with tears in his eyes. As he thought about those souls that he was ministering to who knew not Christ, they were going to perish in their sin. They were going to die and go to a lost eternity. And when Paul thought about that in his preaching, the tears began to flow. He warned everyone night and day with tears. He was a compassionate minister. Turn to Philippians. In Philippians chapter 3. Philippians 3 and verses 18 and 19. Philippians 3, verse 18. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. There were those in the church at Philippi who Paul knew were not saved, who opposed the gospel. He called them the enemies of Christ. But notice, he still wept over them. He still wept over them. It's like young Charles Spurgeon. His father was a preacher. Spurgeon, young Spurgeon, was walking. He was only a wee lad at the time. He was walking by a public house. And he saw a man in the public house sitting drinking. A man whom he knew his father had been praying for. And the young Spurgeon walked into the public house and spoke to the man. And said, my father has been praying for you and my father has been weeping over you. What are you doing in here? Spurgeon's father was like Paul. He had wept over souls. Christ wept over souls. And here Paul was like the New Testament Jeremiah. Jeremiah is called the weeping prophet. In Jeremiah 9 and verse 1, he says, oh, that my head were waters and mine eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. In other words, he was weeping over the people of Israel. They had turned from God. And Jeremiah wept over them. He was the weeping prophet. Paul was the weeping prophet of the New Testament. He wept over the people in Philippi. And here he is weeping over the people, shedding tears with those in the church at Ephesus, being with them at all seasons, but also as he ministered unto them, warning everyone night and day, he did so with tears. May the Lord give each one of us a heart like that. May the Lord give each one of us a compassion for the lost that Paul had. That our eyes would be opened into a fountain of tears. We press on quickly because I want to finish this tonight. He was a faithful minister. Paul was a fearless minister. In verse 22, "And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there." There you have, first of all, his resolve. "I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there." There you have, first of all, his resolve. "I go bound in the Spirit." Not the Holy Spirit, his own Spirit. "I go bound in the Spirit." The word "bound" is the same word that you find in John 11, verse 44. When Lazarus came forth from the grave, he was bound. It's the same word. And so there you have this figure of Lazarus. He's bound with the grave clothes. He can't do anything else. And so it was with Paul. He was bound in the Spirit. To go to Jerusalem, he couldn't do anything else. He must get to Jerusalem. That was his resolve. He said in Acts 19, verse 21, "I must also see Rome." But what he's saying here is, "I must also see Jerusalem." That was his resolve. Wonder why he wanted to get to Jerusalem. Why was he so keen on getting to Jerusalem? Let me suggest this to you. We know from the opening chapters of Acts, in Acts chapter 8 and verse 3, that Paul made havoc of the church in Jerusalem, entering into every house and howling men and women, committed them to prison. He wanted to go and tell the people of Jerusalem about the great change that had taken place in his life. He who had gone and imprisoned them and persecuted them before, he wanted to go and preach the gospel to them. I believe that's why he was so keen to get to Jerusalem. He was resolved. He was determined to go. He went bound in the Spirit. His resolve, his reception. Notice there, he says that he will go, he goes bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. Talking about how he would be received. His reception. In verse 22 and 23, he says, "And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me." In other words, Paul has said, the Holy Spirit has indicated to me that where I go to witness in every city, bonds and afflictions abide me. Or those words, "abide me," may be rendered, "wait for me." And so it doesn't matter what city or town I will go into on my way to Jerusalem, wherever I go, there will be bonds and afflictions awaiting me. The Spirit of God has told them that. But Paul still says, "I go bound in the Spirit," still determined to go, not knowing for sure how I will be persecuted. But I know I will be persecuted because the Holy Spirit has revealed it unto me. And these things are with me. Remember what? You recall the words of Proverbs 29 and verse 23. Fear of man bringeth a snare. There's no fear of man with Paul. That's why we call him not only a faithful minister, he's a fearless minister. He was afraid of no man's face. He was going bound in the Spirit because he knew he had the Lord with him. Remember what the Lord said to Jeremiah? But be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. And that's what gets us sometimes, paralyzes us when it comes to witnessing, is the fear of the face of man. Paul had no such fear. We press on quickly. You notice his resignation. For he says in verse 24, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself. The fact that I'm going to be persecuted, I'm going to be in bonds, I'm going to have to be afflicted. Bonds means chains and being in jail. Paul says, none of these things move me. In other words, none of these things trouble me. Neither count I my life. Dear unto me. I'd willingly lay down my life for the cause of Christ. Have we ever reached that place in our Christian life? Have we ever come to that place of absolute surrender to the Lord? Where we will say, none of these things move me if we were threatened. None of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto me. Reminds us of the words of the Savior in Matthew 16 and verse 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Paul had denied himself. There's nothing of self here. Let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. And again in the verse 27, for the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Paul knew that a reward would await him. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the righteous judge shall give to me, and not unto me only, but unto all them that look for his appearing. So Paul was interested, and once again, all he wanted was the well done of God. Oh, for a life like Paul's. That's why he's able to say, for to me to live is Christ, to die is gain. When someone dies here, we say, oh, we have suffered a terrible loss. That's not how Paul saw it. For to me to live is Christ, to die is gain. And in the last place, he was a focused minister. He was focused in his message. You can take time yourselves and go through it. Look at verse 21. Testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. He preached repentance and he preached faith. Look at verse 24 at the end of the verse. Which I have received of the Lord Jesus Christ to testify the gospel of the grace of God. So he preached repentance, he preached faith, and he preached grace. Look at verse 25. And now behold, I know that ye all among whom I have gone, preaching the kingdom of God. He preached repentance, he preached faith, he preached grace, he preached the kingdom of God. Look at verse 27. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Everything. The Apostle Paul left nothing out. The Apostle Paul avoided nothing, ignored nothing. He preached it all. The whole counsel of God. You couldn't get a better minister than that. He'll preach the whole counsel of God. Remember what he told Timothy? Preach in season and out of season. Preach the word when it's popular and it's not popular. Preach the word whether the people like it or not. Preach the whole counsel of God. That's what he did. He was focused in his message and focused in his ministry. The Lord had called him and put him into the ministry, and he endeavored to do what he exhorted Timothy to do, to make full proof of his ministry. 2 Timothy 4 and 5. Make full proof of your ministry. The words make full mean fulfill your ministry. Paul fulfilled his ministry. And that's why he said, I want to finish my ministry with joy. No regrets. So in light of Paul's life and his ministry, we might consider the words we sang tonight by Harper G. Smith. He sang those words. Is your life a channel of blessing? Is the love of God flowing through you? Are you telling the lost of the Savior? Are you ready his service to do? Then let us make it our prayer. Lord, make me a channel of blessing today. Make me a channel of blessing, I pray. My life possessing. My service, blessing. Make me a channel of blessing today. Such was the Apostle Paul. Oh, for a ministry and a life like his. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our God and Father, we thank thee for the life of Paul, how it stirs us in our own hearts. Gracious God, we thank thee for the man that thou didst make him. We thank thee, Lord, that thou didst make him a winner of souls, a great missionary, a great preacher, a great intellectual, and yet a compassionate, tender, loving, caring minister. Lord, make us all like Paul. Better still, make us all like Paul's Savior. O Lord, write thy holy word upon our hearts tonight. May we not let it go over our heads. May we not shut it out. But Lord, may our hearts be open to receive it. May we meditate upon it even tonight. Lord, be with us, I pray, as we part the one from the other. May we do so with thy blessing resting upon us. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now.